Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Woo! Presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. I'm Ben Brustel, not alongside today Alex Strofe. He's back at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. Josh DiMaggio running the show. And we are very, very excited to be on the streets today on Wisconsin Avenue, right outside the Avenue. As, I don't know, Strofe, did you see my papers fly away?
I did, yeah. You look just totally lost right now. You look confused.
Dude, I crushed
you
that. I didn't even mess up the open wall gathering papers.
No. Not the on the air side, right? You sound very good, but you look
if
confused.
If you were on
I'm
stream and
at
saw
your face.
My face,
yeah.
it was like holy crap. Yeah, a little bit chillier than I expected, but I'm happy to be outside nonetheless as we are at the Milwaukee Night Market. It's a free outdoor event showcasing a variety of local vendors, performers, and artists, and we're in the heart of downtown. It's going to be a great time. You got June 14th. There's going to be one June, July 19th, August 16th, and September 13th. It's from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here on West Wisconsin Avenue between 2nd Street and Vel R. Phillips Avenue. Honestly, I love seeing all the vendors set up. I got some music going around. I'm going to find me the closest Michelob Ultra tent that I can as soon as this is done. But 800-990-3776. Joshy DiMaggio, are we back in action when it comes to phone lines?
Last I heard, the phone lines were working. They did work earlier today, so hopefully.
All right. We'll rock and roll and see what we got today. Again, 800-990-3776. And in Packerland, up at 1265, mandatory mini camps continue. And I think what caught my eye earlier in the day was when Matty Mouse LaFleur took the podium. And as you know at this point, anytime Matt LaFleur takes the podium, I'm always intrigued what he has to say because he just does not know how to demand the podium in heading into his fifth year. He gets really flustered, and I felt like he was flustered today when asked about his offense that will be able to be run differently in some people's opinions without Aaron Rodgers.
I always laugh at that. I mean, to be honest with you, I was like, okay, well, I don't know what that means, but it's always our offense. And it's not about one person in this building. It's about all of us, all our players, all our coaches, and how we want to attack. And I would say it's a very fluid process. We got our core beliefs and our foundational values, but, you know, it's how we do what's best for our football team.
Woof.
Yeah, and again, like, this is Matt LaFleur acting shocked as if this wasn't something that, like, was going to be asked. Like, of course he was going to be asked about, you know, the season with Jordan Love and the opportunity to grow the offense with the young guys and the young core that they're going to be growing at the wide receiver and tight end position. I'd say the two position groups everyone feels most confident about from a Strofe, you love when I say this. Continuity standpoint, it's going to be that running back and offensive line position. I just want to ask you, before I give my answer, because, you know, I will go even deeper on this. Do you trust Matt LaFleur as the Green Bay Packers head coach? And I understand that's kind of a, I don't know, an interesting question to pose for a guy who won 13 games in his first 3 years. But do you trust him?
Yeah, I do, Ben. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt through 4 years as the head coach of the Packers. Now, obviously, last year was not the expectations Green Bay Packers fans have, typically, when you have Aaron Rodgers under center, right? The expectation is not only win the division and get to the playoffs, but to get to the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, it's been a dozen years since that's happened, but ultimately, I think Matt LaFleur has earned the benefit of the doubt for at least 1 year while we go through this, whatever you want to call it, rebuild, transition period, recombobulation, I know Tausche, who we'll talk to later, has called it. I think it's a grace period of a year for Matt LaFleur as they try to figure out what Jordan Love is, what this young offense is capable of. So yeah, I do trust Matt LaFleur, and I think this year we will see more, and I know he wants to deny it or laugh at it and says he doesn't know what it means, but I think we'll see more designs and more, you know, personality traits that maybe we haven't seen from this Matt LaFleur offense, because Aaron Rodgers last year was bitching and moaning in offseason program about how this offense is too complicated. And, you know, so I view it as yes, I do trust Matt LaFleur, but maybe my answer is different a year from now, but I give him a grace period of 1 year to try to figure out what this offense is capable of.
I mean, I guess it's fair to give a grace period when your expectations from a team standpoint are you have the lowest odds, the worst odds for the team to win the division in comparison to the Lions, Vikings, and Bears, and that's from a Vegas perspective. I know we've had conversations on if it's possible for the Packers to win the division because the division is not really ascending. I guess the Bears are ascending because they were at the floor. The Lions, to me, there has to be some sort of regression because last year they were the team that had nothing to lose. Like, Dan Campbell would just go for it on fourth down because he could, because they were the Lions and they didn't have those expectations. Mm-hmm. What does a team look like when they have higher expectations, especially when you're called the Detroit Lions? Obviously, the Vikings letting go of Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins and company had a horrible point differential and were exposed when they got into the playoffs. So I think it's fair to have a grace period in your mind, but to me, I don't want to like have a mindset of a grace period, because when I think about Matt LaFleur, there's a couple things that come to mind. Whether it's unfair or not, in his second year as head coach, the Packers had their best chance to win a Super Bowl in the last 4 years. It was the 2020 uh-huh. season. Their offense was unbelievable. And I would say he wasn't prepared for the moment late in the game when he kicked the field goal. He kicked the field goal, and that will always sting me a little bit, knowing that they were down 7, kicked a field goal, and gave the ball to Tom Brady and never had a chance. And that was on fourth and goal, mind you. It wasn't like they were kicking a field goal from the 30 or the 40. They had an opportunity to go win the game at home against the Buccaneers in 2020 and weren't able to do it. What really bothered me last year was the hindsight of looking back on the opportunity the Packers had to take the bye after London. And, you know, it just, like, he approached that whole offseason trip like such a baby. And I think it echoed throughout the entire team in terms of his leadership. They blew a, was it 20-3 lead, I want to say, at halftime against the Giants. And that's when the slide for the Packers started to happen in the middle of that season before they rejuvenated with defense getting turnovers. So there's just too many times I hear from Matt LaFleur and I think about what he's done as a coach. And Aaron Rodgers owned him. Like, let's just be honest. Aaron Rodgers owned Matt LaFleur. And as a head coach, you need to be a guy that no matter who it is, you can hold the best player accountable. And he was not able to hold the best player accountable to a level that I would like to see. So sure, we get to see what he's able to do with a bunch of younger guys, but he's kind of had a four-year sample size where I don't trust Matt LaFleur.
Okay, I mean, some of the examples you point out, I guess I understand. Like, the Giants, or the after London bye, I don't think is a very fair thing to hold a grudge against, right? And then obviously the backslide started,
because Rodgers got hurt in that game. It was his mindset. It was his mindset about that trip.
And yeah, he doesn't like traveling to... He doesn't like traveling overseas in the middle of the season. I don't think anybody does, except maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are doing it twice in a row this year, right? Because they have such a big fan base overseas.
He acted as if everyone has never done it before. They were the last team to have to go overseas to play, and he acted like it was the biggest thing in the world.
But Matt LaFleur had done it before as a coach. And yeah, it's not ideal. You have a time change. You have a long flight. It's just you're giving up a home game in Green Bay to go overseas. And I just have a hard time believing that you don't trust Matt LaFleur because he didn't take a bye after an overseas game and he didn't like it. It's a business trip. You can't view it as, hey, this is a great vacation for our team. In terms of the fourth and goal field goal, I agree with you. That was a horrible decision. But I don't think we can base Matt LaFleur's four-year tenure on one decision. He still had them in the NFC Championship game, Ben. He still has won playoff games as a first-time head coach. He's been a very good head coach. He elevated Aaron Rodgers back to a back-to-back MVP level. And you hope, and I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to elevate Jordan Love to an MVP level, but you hope he can find this offense, right? We talk about the ingenuity of Matt LaFleur. We talk about the bright mind he is on the offensive side of the ball. He deserves a grace period. He deserves 1 year to figure out this offense, because you crap on the grace period, but what are your expectations for the Packers this year, Ben? You just rattled off that they're the last team in the NFC North, according to Vegas, in terms of betting odds, right? Like, there was not a high expectation for this team in 2023, and I don't think that falls on the head coach. That falls on the general manager way more than the head coach, that you piss off the star quarterback enough to the point where he's either going to retire or go to New York. That's not on LaFleur.
So, I think I want to, there's one thing that I addressed, and I probably should have just led with it and stayed there. It was the fact that he was not able to really be in control of Aaron Rodgers, and that's what kind of led to the question being asked about him getting a chance to run his offense that he scoffed at. I think that's ultimately where I, like, will stay this entire time, is from a leadership standpoint. The ability to hold your best players accountable, over 4 years he was not able to do that. It seemed like Matt LaFleur's identity was Aaron Rodgers. And so we will see what his identity is, but it's hard to be something you're not. And if you've had 4 years as a head coach and you've kind of shown who you are, it's hard to sort of rebuild what standards you set. Now, what helps him is he has a younger team, and they're going to have to trust him because they don't know any better, right? He's been in the league. But again, 800-990-3776. Do you trust Matt LaFleur? I don't. I think I was actually very disappointed in the creativity he even showed last year. I know Aaron Rodgers didn't play well, but he knew what his roster was going to be last year. And the most creative thing that I saw the team do was run two running backs in the backfield and maybe fake handoff to A.J. Dillon and swing it out to Aaron Jones. They never really built on that or anything further. So I see what you're saying. I just think his lack of holding Aaron Rodgers to a point of accountability led to the question that was
being asked. What do you want, a war general? You want like a Bill Belichick, Bo Ryan-esque war general leading this team? Because that's not what Matt LaFleur is, and that's not why they hired him. You look around the league, what's the new standard for head coaching? It is young, creative offensive minds. You look at Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. You look at Sean McVay. You look at Kyle Shanahan. These are not guys that are war generals, right? They're fun, loose, young guys who bring ingenuity to an offense. And Matt LaFleur fits that bill 100%. He won 13 games 3 years in a row, Ben, of the 4 years. 75% of the time as a head coach. Because of Aaron Rodgers. Okay, yeah, Matt LaFleur doesn't need to be employed then. What's his point? Why didn't Mike McCarthy win 13 games his last year in Green Bay? He had Aaron Rodgers. What's your point there then?
Matt LaFleur earned the benefit of the doubt and made it back to NFC Championship games.
And so did Matt LaFleur.
At one point, Aaron Rodgers got sick of him and got him out of there. Aaron Rodgers,
and that didn't happen with
franchise.
Matt LaFleur. And that didn't happen with LaFleur. He left instead.
Aaron Rodgers has run this franchise, and he's run Matt LaFleur, and I'm excited to see if Matt LaFleur can re-identify himself. I just don't think that he's going to be able to do so.
I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't think it's going to be a super sexy year. I don't think it's going to be a 13-win year with a first-year quarterback and a bunch of rookie wide receivers. But I still think, again, he earns the benefit of the doubt. He gets a one-year grace period. If we're having this conversation again in 365 days, I'm Team Brust.
Hey, I like that. You're leaving an option for you to be on my team, which again, I have definitely planted my seed in this Packers team not
you plant
being
your
very
flag
good next year.
Is what you're doing.
Plant your flag, Benny, not your seed.
Yeah, planting seed is a little bit different. Very much
not,
different.
Let's not impregnate the earth,
on
please.
Wisconsin Avenue. Yeah, I don't want to do that. At the Milwaukee Night Market, it's amazing out here. Tents being set up. We have our ESPN Milwaukee booth. Beautiful weather. Come on, just bring a light jacket, walk around, enjoy the scenes, and they're going to be doing this a bunch of different times throughout the summer. Happy to be. I feel like I'm on a field trip. You know what I mean? Like class outside. Just love class outside.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. Justin Fields, Jordan Love. The two are connected in more ways than one. We'll talk about that next on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's like how I passed swimming lessons. I can't float, and the first level of swimming lessons is floating. My parents had to convince the teachers to pass me because I couldn't float.
Great. That's what happens.
And then I made it to Underwater Explorers.
He cheated in swimming class.
Everything. Josh, everything.
It goes so deep.
Scalzo and Brust.
He cheated at little swimmers.
Ben doesn't do this.
Golden guppies. Couldn't float. Had to convince them to send me to Underwater Explorers.
Yeah, you were great at Underwater Explorers.
I sure was.
Because you couldn't float.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Presented by Michelob Ultra. Ben Brust here live at the Milwaukee Night Market, a free outdoor event showcasing a variety of local vendors, performers, and artists. Can already feel the vibe and the people filing in on West Wisconsin Avenue, right outside the avenue where our offices are, which is a great thing. It's like class outside. I could probably walk to the studios that we do the show out of in 30 seconds. So, it's kind of fun.
Cool.
Feels like a field trip. Alex Stroph with us from the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios, 800-990-3776. You can also get us on Twitter, at Scalzo and Brust. I believe Joshy put up the poll. Do you trust Matt LaFleur? Early in the voting, 70-30, yes. I understand it's almost like an optimism you have to have. Otherwise, what are you heading into the season for as a Packer fan? But again, I am on the no side based off of how much he is a pushover.
I don't know that that's necessarily right, Benny, because I think the optimism you have to have is that, okay, they know what they've got in Jordan Love, right? Like, you have to have fake confidence because you've only had one wow throw this offseason from Jordan Love. I think that's the false confidence you almost have to have. But I think with Matt LaFleur, he's earned the confidence. He's earned the vote of confidence.
Yeah, the one thing that I'll add is, like, I think you're saying all the things that everyone wants to believe that can come true. It's the idea that he can be the younger, you know, offensive mind, and we can see that develop, but, like, really it was just Aaron Devontae. And then last year we didn't see much creativity, so it is a blank canvas for him with Jordan Love and a lot of these younger guys, so we'll see what he's able to do. 800-990-3776. Let's go to John in Oconomowoc. John, do you trust Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, I mean, I think, fellas, you got to give him the grace period of a year or two. I think you're looking at this offense, you got to go, okay, is he giving Jordan Love easy reads, but also on the creativity side, you look at teams like Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, McVay, Shanahan. Every game, they've got 2 to 4 plays that make the opposing defense look silly and out of place and get that wide open, whether it's tight end or a deep shot that you go, wow, why is he so open? You want LaFleur to be able to generate 2 to 4 of those a game while also keeping Love in that easy read. If he can do that, then we're going to be in good shape. But if he can't do that, then you've got the questions, especially
with Joe Barry. John.
Yeah.
Do you feel as if you've seen that from Matt LaFleur in this offense in the last 4 years?
I feel like we saw it initially that first year and into that second year But then when the receivers, when we didn't have the talent, it just wasn't as much. And this is really LaFleur's chance to go, okay, I can do this. You've got the speed with Torrey. Wicks looks like he's quick as all get out. Musgrave looks quick too, and same with Kraft. You've got weapons now. Now, are they going to be in the right place at the right time every time? Probably not. But you've got the tools to go, okay, we can have some fun here.
Thanks for the call. So thank you for the call, John. And like that is really interesting. I mean, obviously he didn't cite Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs because you like to think in year two they're going to step up, and they're going to have to step up because you didn't add any veterans in free agency. But to hear Samari Toure, Wicks, Musgrave, Kraft, like, let me just say this. Kraft is not going to be the quickest guy with his feet. He's going to be more of a physical tight end. Musgrave looks the part from a speed thing. That is exciting to see development there. But Andy Reid, McVay, Shanahan, like, there's just so many examples of, yes, this is what Matt LaFleur should be striving for. And I guess the same way that the way I'd be approaching Matt LaFleur is the same way the Packers fans should be approaching Jordan Love, is that, you know, you want to see development. You want to see them develop together. So I think the same way that Strofe, and I will say this, one thing I do have to give Matt LaFleur credit for is he did revitalize Aaron Rodgers' career. He did win back-to-back MVPs, and it was a different style of offense. But I think him and Jordan Love are going to have to grow together.
Yeah, I like that point, actually, Ben, right? Like, they do need to grow together. But you, at least with LaFleur, you have tangible evidence of what he's capable of, right? And we continue to reference the 3-13-win seasons from 19, 20, and 21. So you have tangible evidence, and I understand that was an Aaron Rodgers. Those were Aaron Rodgers teams. But you still know the guy is capable of creating and developing and helping grow talent. And, you know, one more point I will make is with some of these rookies and second-year guys that are in both the wide receiver and tight end room, like, he drafts guys, and or at least has input on who Gutekunst drafts, that fit some sort of mold, right? Like, the first case we saw of that, and unfortunately his career has not gone the way I think all of us maybe projected in Josiah the Messiah DeGuara, but that's a guy LaFleur gushed over when he was still in college at Cincinnati. I think you look at Kraft and Musgrave, and these are guys that fit that tight end mold of a modern-day NFL tight end who can take over a game, and I think that's really the hope. Maybe not in year one, but in the next couple of years with Luke Musgrave. You look at a guy like Jaden Reed, the wide receiver they drafted out of Michigan State. He's quick. He's versatile. He can work sideline to sideline. He presents a lot of fun opportunities, and I'm not comparing him to Deebo Samuel. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but he might play a Deebo Samuel role down the road, or maybe he's lining up in the backfield and he's motioning out wide or vice versa, right? So I think there are a lot of characters in this offensive cast that can play some new and unique roles maybe we haven't seen in a LaFleur offense yet.
Put on the poll, Joshy, on Twitter, at @ScalzoneBrust. Alex Strofe compared Jaden Reed to Deebo Samuel. Do you expect Jaden Reed to be that in his career?
They're built different, right? Like, that's not, you know, that's not the comparison I'm making. But I'm saying, in terms of, like, offensive ingenuity, a guy that you can do some fun things with. I have high hopes for Jaden Reed. He was one of my draft crushes. We saw him take over that game against Wisconsin last fall that went to overtime, where Graham Mertz threw the stupidest pass I've ever seen in the history of college football in that overtime. But Jaden Reed threw a touchdown pass, caught the game-winning touchdown pass in that game. I fell in love with him then. Now he's a Green Bay Packer. I'm excited for what that guy is capable of here down the road.
So, sticking with Jordan Love and him growing, and really this next iteration of the Green Bay Packer, hopefully long-term quarterback, he's going to be heading to France this weekend. So Justin Fields will be doing a football camp in France with Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love and Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. They are all represented by the same agent. And I'll ask you, Strofe, because week one is Bears Packers. Yesterday, captain of the Chicago Bears came on to talking to the media and said, you know, a lot of negative things about Packer fans and wanting to really set the record straight, which is
Rodgers was still there
so he could beat him. Justin Jones.
Nicely done.
Why are you interrupting me for minute details? I was trying to set you up here because I want to know from you if it bothers
you
that Jordan
Love
and Justin Fields will be bonding.
Yeah, I mean, there's that adage, right? Like, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Regardless of the adage, I freaking hate this, Ben. Right? Like, I know it's not the 90s NBA anymore where nobody likes any or nobody likes anybody else unless you're on my team. Or like when that great story in the early 2000s Olympics when Kobe Bryant ran through Paul Gasol's chest even though they were teammates with the Lakers. Like, I understand that's not the era of sports
like
we're in
best
anymore.
Friends.
But this is Bears-Packers. This is Bears-Packers, Benny. Like, this is the oldest, strongest rivalry in the NFL. And you've got now the faces of the franchises for both of these teams and Jordan Love and Justin Fields. And now they're just going to buddy it up in France, Like, I don't understand this at all. Like, I understand that the agents, or they share an agent. But that does not mean you need to share a football camp overseas. That does not mean you need to be hanging out in your off time. I want Jordan Love out in Southern California throwing dots to Romeo Doubs and developing his game that way. I don't need him going out to France and developing the young, you know, French football players and showing them how to throw dots with his direct competition in Justin Fields and his biggest rival and the guy he'll likely be compared to the next several years in this division as the two young quarterbacks and faces of the franchise. This is horrible. I hate this. I'm not a fan of this whatsoever.
So what would you do if you were presented with the opportunity to go to France and do something that your agent asked you to do that likely is good for the game of football? Would you talk to Justin Fields? Would you, like, would you be Kobe Bryant? What would you do?
Here's how I would set it up. You know, there's a despicable human being also involved in this in Deshaun Watson. And I think you should put Justin Fields in one end zone, put Jordan Love in the other end zone, and let Deshaun Watson run drills on the 50-yard line. Keep me as far away from Justin Fields. I'd rather be closer to a despicable human being than my direct competition in Justin Fields. That's how I would handle this situation. Your thoughts?
I honestly don't know how to react to that because, like, it's extreme, but right, you know?
Right.
Maybe not right. I don't know. You're basically saying you'd rather have Jordan Love be friends with Deshaun Watson than Justin Fields.
No, there's still 50 yards of space between them. Still 50 yards of space between them, right? There's just 100 yards of separation between Justin. I want them on different planes. I want Jordan Love, or if they're going to be on the same plane, I want Jordan Love in the front row of first class. I want Justin Fields on the last seat on the plane available. I want him in the very back row next to the restroom so he can whiff in all the auras and smells from the airplane bathroom while Justin Fields is enjoying a cocktail front and center first class. That's what I want. I don't want these two hanging out. I want them to despise each other. They can respect each other, but they certainly can't like each other. And this makes it seem like they're mucking it up as best buddies. I don't like it at all.
I got a feeling that we're going to see Justin Fields and Jordan Love send out some sort of selfie on Instagram or Twitter when they're flying to France together. How is that going to make you feel?
If that happens, I'm calling you, and I am going to just complain. I'm just going to complain, and then I'm going to hang up. That's how I will handle that situation, because it's going to be like a Saturday afternoon news dump.
I'm calling it right now. You can call me, but I'm calling that is going to happen. They are going to take a picture together on the way to France.
Imagine the run that'll get on these shows next week. If Justin Fields and Jordan Love are pictured in a selfie with one another, oh my goodness, I might have an aneurysm if that occurs. I'd be so upset. Imagine if, like, Smokin' Jay Cutler and Aaron Rodgers were hanging out back in the day. They might now, because they've become pretty similar human beings.
I think they kind of were friends, to be honest. Am I wrong about that, Joshy?
I don't remember anything specifically, but I thought they, like, respected each other to a level.
I just, when
and like
when
I said, you can respect each other, you just can't like each other.
When Aaron had a relationship with Jordan, his brother, I think his brother was at Vanderbilt, and that's where Cutler graduated from, and he'd always thanked Jay for helping him out whenever he was around the program. So, I mean, maybe that was Rodgers just getting a leg up on Cutler, who knows, from a mental standpoint. But there's a story going around that Joshy sent me about an NFL player who allegedly lost $8 million gambling. Talk about making me feel better before I go to sleep at night. We're going to talk about that next on 1 or 0 on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Mick Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
32 degrees. Well, I was off by 5 degrees. Why is that so funny?
It's one of the most basic facts you could possibly have.
You think I care? Like, I just, if I want something to freeze, I put it in the freezer. I don't care what temperature it's at.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Live from the Milwaukee Night Market here on West Wisconsin Avenue. It's a great time, great vibe. Weather's great. Just bring a pullover, bring a zip up. That's all I'd say because it's going to get a little cooler, but it's beautiful. Awesome to see more people filing in. Tons of different setups. You can catch me. I'm right here live on West Wisconsin. Come say hi if you plan to do so. But this summer is packed for the green and gold, and it's packed for our green and gold content all week long, starting at noon. So you got tomorrow and Friday, and if you've missed any of these, you can watch them back. Catch Gabe Neitzel live with our ESPN Milwaukee social feeds, talking Green Bay football with some of the new and unique Packers voices. It's packed lunch. How's everyone feeling about Jordan Love? Well, we kind of discussed that here, and they'll discuss it there. What's the takeaway on the word rebuild, and are Packer fans ready for the real Matt LaFleur? It's like we talked about that as well. All that more every day at Packed Lunch at noon with Gabe Neitzel. Find it on ESPN Milwaukee Social or watch it back later. Joshy, let's hit some one or zeros.
Are you a one or a zero? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
He is Alex Stroff in for Greg Scalzo. I am Ben Brust. We are your contestants for one or zero. Joshy DiMaggio is going to give us a question. We're going to say one for yes, zero for no. There is no gray area. Joshy, all you.
You teased it right before we went to break, but reportedly there is an NFL player who lost $8 million gambling during the 2022 season. The story, however, did not specify if it was sports gambling or casino games. One or zero. $8 million lost gambling is a lot for anyone.
The degenerate in me is going to say zero because I...
What?
My dream in life... Yeah, hear me out. Hear me out. My dream in life is to have $1 billion. And if I lost $8 million gambling and I had $1 billion, like, who cares, you know? Does that sound logic?
That's still a lot of money. Like, at some point...
Don't chase your dreams, kids. Jeez.
At some point...
Don't chase your dreams. I mean, it's not my dream. It's not my only dream, Stroff. It's one of my dreams.
At some point, $8 million is $8 million. It's just... It's
exactly, Josh.
Right.
I'm a one,
that
obviously.
Person might $8 win $8 million this year, guys.
Hold on a minute. So what else do you have as, like, your dreams in life? If one of them is to make $1 billion, which is an absurd amount of money, which...
I said somehow end up with.
I hope you achieve that. I hope you achieve that. Because, you know, you're my friend. I hope you get everything you want, right, in life. I hope you chase your dreams. What else is a part of that dream, Bill?
That's between me and my diary.
One or zero, the NFL should step in on any player who lost $8 million gambling.
Do you want me to go full D-gen here?
Yeah, I do.
Zero! No! If this was Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or, I don't know, you don't know everyone's financial situation. What if they have great businesses outside of being NFL players? Like, if this was Tom Brady, this is chump change. I mean, hopefully
this
in the
is
divorce
a problem.
He got some of Giselle's money.
Yeah, this
is a problem.
It is a problem.
I'm a one here.
All right. Well, clearly we're not going to get anything other out of Ben than other than, eh, who cares? A Belgian TikToker, along with his wife and children, orchestrated a prank where he faked his own death to see who actually cared about him and to teach a lesson about keeping in touch with loved ones. One or zero. You'd forgive a friend who faked their own death to teach a lesson.
Is the lesson taught towards me?
It's being taught towards everyone. It was more for
wow.
Like all of the people that were there.
But you kind of get where I'm going. Like if I don't think I would forgive a friend who would fake their own death to try and get me to pay more attention to them. It's just like that's a whole nother level. I just think there is something that can be said about the lesson that can be given. I just think he took it a step too far. There are definitely times where I'm like, I think I've been a bad uncle. I got 12 nieces and nephews. Have I seen them enough? Have I called my family enough? Have I done that enough? But I don't think faking a death would be looked good upon as a reason to get them, you know, or me to get them to pay more attention to me. If someone did that for me to pay more attention to them, that's a red flag.
Yeah, so let me rewrite the question for you, Josh, if you don't mind. One or zero, you'd forgive a sociopath who faked their own death to teach a lesson. I'm a zero here. This is insane. This is insane behavior. This person belongs in jail. This sounds like fraud all over, right? Like, this is absurd. I hadn't seen this until you sent it to me, Josh. This is incomprehensible to me.
Yeah, and there was like a kind of a multiple day thing, and like some of his friends, once he showed up,
really?
Were like sobbing. So like, this wasn't just like an overnight thing. It was like people lived with their friend having died for like a couple days before they figured it out.
Wow. So this guy not only killed himself off, he also killed every existing relationship he's ever had off, right? Like, I don't think anybody would be okay with this behavior. This is absurd.
A one or zero, you could be friends with someone who didn't show up to your fake funeral.
Oh.
That's funny.
I mean, zero. What a jerk. I mean, I guess you want people around you when you're alive, but I guess you also get to see who truly cares about you when you're not around if you're alive and can kind of see it. I would have a conversation with them, and they have to come up with a really good reason. Yep. Hey, I was faking my death. Couldn't be there.
Why weren't you there? I was dead, kind of. I'm also a zero here. I mean, unless you have a really damn good excuse, like you were out of the country and didn't even know, you didn't have cell service, you couldn't read the fake obituary. Was there an obituary for this dude? I'm so curious. I got to look more into this. But yeah, I'm probably a zero here 99% of the time.
Last night,
800-990-3776. Cam from the Heights chimes in with an answer to your question to me, Strofe, about what I dream about. Ben, one of your dreams is to no longer have tummy issues, and I wish that for you. Cam, ding, ding, ding.
Last night, fair. Oakland Athletics fans planned a successfully executed reverse protest where they filled the stadium to show people that the fans and their attendance wasn't the problem in Oakland. And it was, in fact, the cheap owner. One or zero. Last night's protest will matter to Athletics fans.
Ooh. One, it will matter to the people that showed up, but it won't matter to anybody else.
What I mean is, will it change it? Will there be a result that they want from it?
Zero. Like, it's going to Vegas. Like, what? You know what those Athletic fans have, Joshy?
Huh.
They have Strofe fan brain. They actually thought that them showing up and doing a reverse protest was going to change the Oakland Athletics from being shipped off to Las Vegas, where it will turn into something more lively and more revenue and maybe more money for the owners to spend for the team.
Did they win again last night? I think A's fans also have a...
They did win.
Yeah, they got a good winning streak going as well, do the Oakland Athletics. Yeah, it's zero. It won't matter. And you'll ask us another question as to why it won't matter, but yeah, obviously it won't matter. The owner's mind is made up. Doesn't spend money.
One or zero. Sports owners actually care about fans.
It's an absolute zero. They care about money.
Oh, man. I watched the... I can't spoil Ted Lasso. I watched the finale of season 3, and let me just say there was an underlying tone of like owners caring about the fans and why they got into owning teams, and I saw right through it. I was like, this is a bunch of Disney World fairy tale crap.
It's the whole show.
You know what I mean? It was like,
well, it is a television show. Yeah, it is.
No,
a television
I know, but. I was just saying, like, I really enjoyed the show in season 1 because I feel like it connected with everyone. It felt real. That lesson is not real at all. Owners care about the dollars in their pockets.
That's all I got for 1 or 0.
Yep.
That is all Joshy's got for 1 or 0. Strofe, what would you rate that 1 or 0?
I'd go like 6.5 out of 10. It was okay.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Joshy's best, but I don't think we were at our best either.
The Belgian TikToker stuff was good. That was interesting. He didn't ask this one, Ben, real quick before we go to break. 1 or 0, you'd be curious about who would attend your funeral.
Sorry, the night market got a little loud there. Hit me again.
1 or 0, you'd be curious to who would attend your funeral.
Oh, man. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have somebody write a list down and then bring it to heaven and show me. How's that sound?
All right, Ben. I'm a one here. I would be curious.
You are too. You guys are rating my 1 or 0 questions. I'm rating Ben's performance a 3.2.
3.2?
You get a 4.6, Strofe.
All right, I beat him. All right.
Next segment, we have to be better than each of our grades, according to Josh DiMaggio. How about that?
Deal.
All right, we'll try that next on Scalzo and Brust, live from the Milwaukee Night Market here on Wisconsin Avenue. It's beautiful. Come on down. Come say hi. Enjoy the festivities going on here. We'll be back soon with more Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Do you know what a woolly mammoth is?
I do. I saw it in 10,000 BC, the movie.
I've never even heard of that movie.
I don't understand how his references are always so obscure. Everything in his brain comes from the wrong place. It's always filed in the wrong spot.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand. Whoa!
Presented by Michelob Ultra. I'm Ben Brust, live from the Milwaukee Night Market. And it's awesome. The sun's coming out, too. It's peeking through right now. It's getting a little warmer. And they're going to be doing this all summer long. We got the first one tonight from 5 to 10 on June 14th. You got July 19th, August 16th, and September 13th. And it transforms the heart of downtown in an exciting fusion that all the city has to offer. Vendors, performers, artists, food, you name it, it's all down here. So come on down, check it out. I'm on the street doing the show right now. Alex Strofe at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios filling in for Greg Scalzo. Josh DiMaggio running the show. 800-990-3776. That's how you can get involved on the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Also on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust. Jair Alexander continues to make a little bit of headlines. Yesterday we found out later in the show that he did not show up to OTAs, and which essentially turned down $700,000. $700,000. I mean, it's still baffling to me. What's worse, Josh? Actually, this is wrong. I'm going to ask you both because I was going to say it. I don't want to stop. What's worse, losing $8 million gambling or not showing up to OTAs to collect $700,000?
You realize how dumb of a question that is, right?
That's why I stopped, but I felt like I had to share it after I started. It's like
what's worse,
somebody
losing 9% or losing 100%? What the hell kind of question was that? What are we doing today, Ben?
It was a bet.
Like, I know
it was
a golden hour. I know the sun's hitting you in the face. I know you're outside on your field trip or your class outside. But what are we doing right now? Like, what the hell kind of question was that?
Pat on the back to me. That was not a good question. But I Josh, I want to hear from Jair on what he had said today. I like when Strofe gets mad. It's fun.
For me, I know what's for me at this point, you know. I'm on year 6, so, you know, 2 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pros. I mean, you know, I think I know what I got going on here.
That Jair Alexander, and one thing that I've appreciated about Jair is he does not lack confidence in himself. But, Strofe, does it bother you that he didn't show up? Like, this is a year in which the defense really needs to step up, especially to help the offense out and Jordan Love as they find their way. They haven't lived up to expectations. There was a top five top five defense was what they were rumored to be last year with all the pieces and the investments, and that still sort of is the same thing. They're kind of running it back with coordinator and team. What do you make of Jair not showing up?
All right, let's all take a ride, jump on in. We're jumping in the Alex Stroff time machine. Woo! We're running back 12 months. When you asked me a similar question about an all-pro level player that didn't show up to OTAs by the name of Aaron Rodgers, it didn't bother me then. It doesn't bother me now. Jair Alexander is the proven leader of this defense. He's the best cornerback, best defensive back, debatably the best player on that defense. He's getting that work in. He's enjoying Green Bay when nobody else is around. He's not bothered by losing $700,000. Neither am I. He's at the mandatory minicamp. He just got a payday not too long ago. He's going to be a bona fide stud, an all-pro candidate again this year if he's healthy. I have no worries at all. The problems on that defense lie a lot more with the young players and the defensive coordinator than they lie with Jair Alexander. Did he have some hiccups last year? Absolutely. But similarly to the Aaron Rodgers debate a year ago with OTAs, I don't think Jair Alexander not being there is going to affect the play of this defense whatsoever.
Josh, he has Aaron Rodgers' number one hater in the entire world, who would probably be critical of Aaron Rodgers and has been critical when he has not shown about not showing up to OTAs. What do you make of Jair?
I would tell Jair personally, I think he's making a bad fiscal decision, one that doesn't seem to be very smart when all that's really required of you is attendance. But in terms of the real-world implications, I disagree with Stroff in terms of I think it matters when a quarterback is not there. Like, the quarterback is the leader of the team as a whole, and a quarterback can contribute to young players the way it did. I think Jair, I mean, that position is, as much as you have to work with your secondary, it's individual more so than pretty much any other position on the football field.
I do not appreciate how you generalize that, right? You care if a quarterback doesn't show up. You give a damn if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up because you love crapping on him, Josh.
Well,
you and I can,
I know,
we can
I know
be
your
friends.
Brain's
me
too small
and
you're unable to deal with nuance and to deal with reality about things going on in the world. But yes, a quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. Do I think it's more important for the most important position to be around and to be teaching young guys that are going to directly contribute to his personal success? Yes, I think it is different than a cornerback who can just decide, I'm going to cover Justin Jefferson and there's nothing that's going to stop me. It's a very, very different thing.
Sure, and look, I appreciate
you
calling up my pea brain. Go ahead.
You got
then.
It.
Here's what I'll add real quick. One of the takeaways that Jason Wilde had heading into mandatory minicamps from OTAs was Jordan Love throwing against, you know, some of the more seasoned veterans in Rasul Douglas and J.R. Alexander. And yesterday, we heard about the wow throw from Jordan Love to Christian Watson past one Jair Alexander. So the one thing I'll say is the same way that we're talking about Aaron Rodgers helping the offense is with where the Packers are, it could have been of benefit to have Jair there and push Jordan Love, even if there's no pads, even if it's just routes, in helping Jordan Love have to progress even quicker in pushing him in every aspect of the offseason, helping the quarterback get to a spot where he's helping this team get better. It's the same argument for Aaron Rodgers being there with the offense. I can make the same for Jair missing OTAs for the defense.
I think what you're doing there is trying to stretch the logic when you know, I know, and Stroff know the difference between a quarterback, especially one of Aaron Rodgers' import, one that carries as much weight as he does, and Jair Alexander on the defense. I think you can make an argument for why it could be beneficial to his teammates for Jair to be there, but to put them in the same category, they are worlds apart in terms of importance to team success and everyone's success there. I think it's fine.
Sound
you
reason.
Can make the argument, but it doesn't really. I don't think it holds much water if I think all of us look at each other and say, yeah, I can see there's a bit of a difference here.
See, but if it can make the team better, like you said it could, even if it's minimal, that's the same argument that everyone made about Aaron Rodgers not showing up to make the team minimally better with the younger wide receiver. So I think there's merit to getting at Jair for not showing up to OTAs, but he's also putting pressure on himself. I thought he had a down year last year. He better show up.
Yep.
I mean, he talks trash even when he's playing bad. And so this year, it's not about what you can do with your mouth. It's what you're going to be able to do with those hands and feet. But we'll be back in 2 minutes because I do want to talk a little bit about the most unlikable off-the-court NBA player in Nikola Jokic. Gosh, I mean, he's so unlikable. The way he did the celebration for the NBA championship really bothered me. Would you take Giannis or Jokic the next 5 years? We'll hit that next in 2 minutes.